It's not that I can never know something bad because I will change my mind about this person. It's that the way that you get to know somebody and the sort of pacing of information that you have access to and how much they're able to tell their story versus just me going on autopilot, telling a story that's based on my old stories or whatever society has told me to think, makes a big difference.
The Center for Understanding and Conflict welcomes you to The Other Chair, a monthly podcast exploring the dynamics of conflict and how to bring the human issues to the table. Together with our guests, we explore how the power of understanding each other can lead to better solutions for people on both sides of an issue. We will also share tips for managing your own mediation practice, approaching conflict in the professional world, and ways to apply our understanding-based model in your personal life. Hello to our listeners, and welcome to The Other Chair. My name is James Dykman. Today's guest is Caitlin Meredith, a mediator, coach, and conflict skills trainer who works with individuals, organizations, and families navigating transitions and conflict. A graduate of the 2022-23 teacher training cohort at the Center for Understanding and Conflict, Caitlin is now an understanding-based trainer who recently taught a course with the center at Green Gulch in California. Hello, Caitlin, and welcome to The Other Chair.
Hi, James. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. I know you're very, very busy. It seems like you're doing all sorts of things these days. You're teaching classes. You've got your own private practice work. I understand that you're going to be, well, you have your podcast as well, and it sounds like you're going to be starting up a radio show. The first place to start, I guess, would just be with the understanding-based model. How did you come to the center? How did you come to this particular way of resolving conflict that led you to then incorporate it into your professional life?
You know, it was just dumb luck because mediation wasn't even on my radar, but I had worked a lot in conflict, just different kinds of conflict. I had been an aid worker in sub-Saharan Africa for about 14 years. So I always call that conflict with a capital C. And I also worked in criminal defense. I was a criminal defense consultant in Texas. So I had gone to most Texas prisons and worked through a lot of trials. And so I was always sort of arriving to conflict when it was already happened, already too big. Intervention wasn't really, was sort of at the tail end. Certainly during war, that's different. But I started to get curious about sort of upstream and more human to human interactions that could prevent conflict or work with it when it was there on a personal basis. And I had done so much coaching for clients that were about to go to prison and coaching for families about what that's like or recovering from family violence that it started to feel like, you know, I have these skills, but I didn't really know what to label them as. And just dumb luck had lunch with a high school friend who's in a civil rights attorney who said, you know what you would be really good at? This mediation style. And I did this training at Green Gulch. I think you would like it. I think you should do it. And I kind of forgot about it. But a month later, he sent me a newsletter, forwarded me a newsletter from the Center for Understanding and Conflict. And I just something about it felt like, oh yeah, this is the path now. And then once I got in the yurt, I was like, oh yeah, this is the right place for me.
So I have to ask, it sounds like you're in a unique position in terms of your experience, whereas a lot of mediators and conflict professionals seem to have come to the work through more traditional means, let's say mediating divorces or working in small claims court as a court mediator. But you've had the unique experience to see conflict in its most aggressive form through your work in war-torn areas and even with prisons. I mean, that's the end result for many people of a severe conflict that ended in many cases in a life-ending or certainly a life-altering outcome that is catastrophic for the victims of crime and for those who must atone for it. And so what was it about the understanding-based approach that was so attractive to you, given the proximity you've had to such extreme forms of conflict?
You know, something that just occurred to me while we were talking, and that happened both in when I was working in refugee camps, but more recently, I used to teach journalism classes in jails in Texas. And I always made a practice of not Googling my students while they were in my classes because I didn't want to know what I was, I didn't want anything to sort of deter me from my decision to be present and to talk about journalism with people that otherwise weren't getting access to that kind of classes or even that kind of thinking. And like without doubt, without exception, I would lead a whole class, and some of the brightest stars in those classes who would write just a funny op-ed or a really persuasive essay about something or a really funny review of a hotel that they had stayed at, or one of my favorite assignments was reviewed Thanksgiving meal at the Travis County Jail. And these were human beings, both on the women's side and men's side, that had humor, that had care, that had a special kind of intelligence, and that time was really special. And then later, when I would Google and I would find out what had happened to bring them into jail, I would think, oh my God, I'm so glad I didn't know that, because I wouldn't have discovered the full richness of this person. And I think it was experiences like that, whereas before I would have thought like the conflict defines you, or the kind of person that could end up in jail that did something so bad, like that's how they are all the time. And instead, I found that I really related to a lot of people there. And not because we talked about their crime and I thought I can imagine doing that, but because, wow, they were brought to a place through conflict that maybe I could be brought to also. And yet they're reasonable. They can write lovely paragraphs. And it made me really curious about what sort of lurks in all of us, the good and the bad and the potential with messy human relationships to have things go terribly wrong. And also what rehabilitation looks like and what working with conflict in a different way might have done for those people's lives.
How is that? It sounds like this initial grasp of an understanding-based approach informed your work as you've gone through the training to become a practitioner in working with parties in conflict that likely may not be in such an extreme conflict situation, but still are just as human. They're just as affected by the situation they're in. And you are obviously working hard to help them as neutrally as possible come out of it. So what's the connection between where you came from and where you've gone since?
Well, this is what occurs to me, and you tell me if I'm getting your question right. I think working with people that have been incarcerated or convicted of crimes, and I do a lot of parole presentations also, that muscle, you have to develop that empathy muscle really strongly. You have to trace someone's life, because if your underlying belief is that we all are the same and there's these universal facets of humanity that connect us all, then it's very hard to find true evil monsters. And I know, I promise I'll get to like family mediation. I'm not connecting that necessarily, but that there's a muscle that you have to employ when you work with marginalized populations that have a lot of stigma, that have a lot of judgment against them, to work to tell their story. And so I think I was flexing that muscle so much to get to the real story of someone's life again and again through that work. And so it was a natural transition to the understanding-based model, where when you're trying to connect with someone who's maybe at some of the worst time of their life, or certainly not getting along with other people, not maybe all of their best qualities are on display, working to connect and finding the path of understanding with them that resonates with me, their own humanity, came quite naturally, I think, because of that. And as you say, in much less extreme circumstances.
Conflict manifests itself in many ways in our personal lives, for professionals in the workplace and for practitioners who have made a career bringing together parties in conflict through mediation practice. Each month, the Center for Understanding and Conflict hosts live webinars with featured guests discussing best practices and sharing their experiences for tackling conflict using the understanding-based model. It did. And I'm curious to learn more about what makes the understanding-based approach so unique in these situations, not just in your previous work with those who are incarcerated, but your current work as a practitioner. that is, in your words, more preferable or special compared to many of the other different, approaches you could take in a conflict situation, whether you're doing caucusing or you're working with people using an alternative method. Why the understanding of grit-based approach versus any of those?
I think I see understanding another person as like the key to unlocking all of our connections. And so especially in the case of a mediation, that the key to unlocking a connection is really important with me because I'm just endlessly curious and fascinated by other people. So I want to know like what's inside of you and find a way to connect that with something that's inside of me. But also that like excitement that like if I feel that way, even the person that you're in conflict with, they have that inside them as well. And maybe just maybe like we can, by understanding that about each other, talk about things in a new way and get over the conflict, feeling the connection. And I don't know any other way for myself to get to a connection without understanding someone better. And so it was like a toolkit to use that when it's with people, parties, clients that I'm working with that I don't know their entire life history. So how can I make those connections with them, and how do I facilitate, foster, make understanding come out as the model says, in the room? I think that's the only way to feel those connections. So you asked, how is it different than other models? And I'll admit that I have limited exposure because this was the first model of mediation that I was introduced to, and it resonated so strongly. I have worked with other models, but it seems to a lot of the other models seem to me to assume that two people can't feel connected even when they don't agree. And that it's dangerous to go too deep into understanding each person, especially in the presence of the other person, because maybe it'll make things worse. And in my experience, it's the opposite, that the more understanding of each person that's in conflict with each other has, it makes things better. It may be not best friends, I'm not talking rainbows and unicorns. I'm talking about like a different quality of understanding, and texture of a relationship.
You talk about flexing this muscle of understanding that had its, it sounds like some of its genesis in your work with incarcerated individuals. But then you also mentioned not Googling them so that you could work with them in a clear way, because you just didn't want to know who was in the room and what they had done. And in the understanding-based approach and in the training, there's a great deal of emphasis on what happens internally. What's going on with the mediator in the room as they're encountering information that may be uncomfortable, or people who may represent traumas in their past that could affect their ability to provide a neutral experience for those who are in conflict. Do you feel that, based on what you've learned through the Center for Understanding in Conflict, that you would be able to go back and to know about these people and what they had done before you had met and worked with them, and that your training and that inner work would prepare you to be able to handle that with all of the information versus limiting it to protect yourself?
Yeah, that's such a good question, because the reason I didn't Google in the beginning was because that information would have been front loaded. And much like the way that I mediate, I don't want to know a lot about people that will come in for a mediation because I'm an excellent storyteller and I fill in all the gaps with my own biases and judgment. Like I can tell the story of your life from like three sentences without meeting you. And that's so dangerous because even though I love having a vivid imagination, it also holds me back from connecting to people because I make all these assumptions about the ways that we're really similar and the ways that we're really different. And that kind of short circuits what happens when people get to know each other organically. So I think the internal work about noticing what buttons are being pressed for ourselves, when those judgments arrived, how that's kind of twisting our narrative based on our imagination, not based on what the actual person in front of you is telling you that's coming from inside of them, is absolutely Oh, useful. I mean, that sounds like an understatement, but were I to go back into those classrooms, if let's say I looked halfway through, I think it would have made my connections feel even more sort of deeply mysterious and curious, like the vastness that we all contain as humans, the possibilities in every single direction. So it's not that I can never know something bad because I will change my mind about this person. It's that the way that you get to know somebody and the sort of pacing of information that you have access to and how much they're able to tell their story versus just me going on autopilot, telling a story that's based on my old stories or whatever society has told me to think makes a big difference. And so when I think about the internal work, just laying all that stuff on the table and being like, oh, this is probably where that judgment comes from. This is probably where that bias comes from. Can I show up fresh? Can I acknowledge that those judgments live within me and probably for some good reasons, but in this interaction, in this new connection, put them to the side? And in order to do that, I have to notice them first, which has been such key reinforcement through the understanding model, is noticing and understanding what goes on inside of me before I can even attempt to do it to understand someone else.
Let's fast forward a little bit into the present day, the work that you're doing. I understand that you've built a practice since you've completed training, and walk me through what is your practice like, and what was the experience for you in putting it together, and what sort of cases have you been taking on in helping to bring together people who are in conflict?
Well, after I did the 40-hour, I started volunteering for a community mediation, which was a great way to get experience mediating. And also, the community mediation that I did, and I think most of them use a co-mediator model. So it was great to not just be alone in a room and be like, hello, this is my first time, and not know what I was doing. That led me over time. Then I took Your Next Steps with Catherine Connor and Melanie Rowan, which not only gave me really good tools and sort of strategies to think about setting up my own business, but connected me with other people that were at the similar point in their journey as I was. So everything from figuring out, like, I'm going to have a website. What will I put on my website? What will I say that I do on my website? And then the sort of accountability piece. Who am I telling about this new th feature in my life? I'm a mediator now. Who knows it? Who doesn't know it? And it was really through that process of telling people, I always, the story I love about that, taking that class is Catherine Connor said, tell everyone you know, tell the people at school, drop off it, tell that. And I really was like, oh God, Catherine, nobody cares at school drop off. Like that isn't wearing enough fine clients. And literally the morning I finished my website, I bumped into a woman who was a mom at my school, 2 blocks from my house. And I wasn't actually even telling her I'm a mediator now. I was telling her I finished a website. Like, I'm real. Oh, this is a great morning. I finished a website. It took me forever. And that led her to ask, oh, what is, you know, what's your website? Oh, I'm a mediator. And a month later, she hired me. So it was a funny way to be proven wrong, a welcome way. And just slowly over time, I started getting sort of word of mouth and doing community mediation, working in, I live in Sonoma County, doing Sonoma County court-based mediations. It's a slow process, but also connecting with the other people that had taken Your Next Steps. We started a peer group so we could really support each other as we went through that. I started working. I'm teaching a core mediation class at a law school, and then that turned into 2 classes at that law school. So the connections I started making while I was in this world led to more opportunities and referrals. You asked what I do. I do everything from divorces. I'm a conflict professional without a legal background. So I help couples in the sort of decision points that they have to make with different parts, whether it's figuring out custody scheduling or if they're going to share their house, helping them discuss those big decisions for separation or divorce, not, I don't file paperwork. I'm not a legal document preparer. I've also worked with adult siblings around inheritance issues, worked in business, coworker or sort of workplace settings, coworker conflict, other types of family conflict, and definitely more in the community mediation model, but with sort of neighbor issues and landlord-tenant issues. But those are primarily through community mediation programs.
Throughout the year, the Center for Understanding and Conflict hosts in-depth, basic, and advanced certificate programs designed to train you to become effective mediators and conflict resolution professionals centered in the understanding-based model. Our training programs have been the gold standard in alternative dispute resolution for 40 years and is popular within the legal community with human resource professionals, ombudsmen, and corporate workplace mediation clients. I understand you also work with the Bay Area Mediation Collective. What type of organization is that, and how does it differ or complement your practice?
Yeah, my friend Fiona Hall and I met doing Your Next Steps, and maybe a year or two after, we had stayed in touch through a peer group and really were have very complementary styles and started teaching a core mediation class together at the law school, and decided that what we would really like to do is come together and invite other people that were like-minded, had a like-minded approach to mediation and also conflict coaching and also conflict skills trainings, and sort of come up with an umbrella business that people could seek out mediators and conflict coaches or trainings. So we each have our own sort of private practices. And then we have an umbrella called the Bay Area Mediation Collective that is another opportunity for us to collaborate on cases, and especially in workplace settings where there's multiple staff members and we're going to come up with a strategy and a collaboration with a workplace to see what we can do to help either if there's been a big conflict, so mediation, or if there are sort of there's need for some support for people how to have difficult conversations. And that's what we provide.
So I have to ask, in listening to you from your experience, you know, working in war zones to working with incarcerated persons as a teacher, what was really the genesis of your decision to branch off and really focus on kind of walking into the heart of conflict and helping individuals? Because it sounds like you've blossomed quite a bit since you made that decision, and that a lot of things have aligned to help you to grow and expand and connect with others to make a bigger and bigger impact. Where did that begin? What was it that drove you to make that change?
I think the people that I keep meeting along the way, definitely the people that have been drawn to the understanding-based model, either in the initial trainings, I've stayed connected with a lot of people there, but also through the teacher training program, sort of a full force multiplier for all the sort of aspects of the model that have resonated with me. And then to meet all these other people that it resonates for them as well. And all of the opportunities and connections each of them have had. I feel like I hate using the word leveraged because it seems so sort of strategic and in a way that I'm not. But it really has been every opportunity I've gotten has been through the people that I've met, either through this program or talking about this model. So certainly I've had a few careers in my past, and this is built on it. I think my skill set, it continues this mediation, conflict coaching, training builds on skills and experiences I had in the past, but there's something about helping people have difficult conversations. As I said, it's sort of like finally finding a name for something I've been doing for a really long time, and then having this other sort of scaffolding to support it with a model that really makes sense to me, and being able to explain it and help others. I think I was used to being able to have hard conversations before, and that sometimes that was unusual, but now shifting that to be able to help other people do that That's really meaningful to me. And sort of, I bring a lot of excitement to the work, which seems funny. And as I told you, and you already mentioned, I'm going to have this radio show. And my favorite part about it so far, because it hasn't started, is the title that I thought of, which is I Don't Want to Talk About It with Caitlin Meredith. And I chose that for this very specific reason, like just knowing how many people, including myself, like we're walking around with conversations we do not want to have. And what if we unlocked 40% of those? I think our lives might be like measurably better and different, and certainly are a lot of our relationships. So that's something that, like, really, can I say it? I get all jazzed up about it. It seems so corny, but I genuinely get excited about those possibilities.
Well, for not wanting to talk about it, it seems like you certainly have lots of opportunities to be an advocate, not only for the understanding-based model, but for understanding people, for being empathetic with people and bringing together those who are struggling with conflict. And I know that, was it just last week you were asked to come and speak at the Northwest Dispute Resolution Conference, talking about turning conflict into collaboration to a group of other practitioners in the Pacific Northwest. What was that like for you, especially considering how far you've come over the last couple of years?
Yeah, it was great. It was a great opportunity, the conference itself, to connect with all these different mediators and conflict professionals that work in very different realms than I do. I learned a lot from that. But also, so the workshop I did was a conversation tool to start how to start a difficult conversation when a third party neutral or a mediator isn't present. So it's really a kind of tool I teach a lot to HR groups or workplace settings. So people that don't even know what words should come out of their mouth to start a difficult conversation. And it's a tool that I present and teach so they can start it. And so in the room, my audience was a bunch of mediators and people that help people with other people's conflict. But I found, so I was a little bit like, is this the right audience? Like they're already know how to do this, whatever. And instead, I found that there was a lot of engagement and a lot of excitement about how to start difficult conversations in their own lives and mediators' own lives, because of course we have conflict like anyone else. And I've gotten a lot of feedback. I guess my talk was last Friday, and I've gotten several emails from people like, I went home and I tried this on my teenage sons, or, I brought up this conversation with a neighbor that I've really been avoiding. So that was actually really exciting. This idea of this frontier of difficult conversations we all need to have, even when we're conflict professionals, we have in our own lives. And sometimes the skills that we have as mediators are hard for us to translate into conflicts in our own life because we rely on being at least a degree removed from the conflict that we're working with. And what happens when we're actually the one that's in the middle of it, and it's not doesn't sort of rise to the occasion of getting a mediator. So that was really fun, and to be challenged about how does this play out for conflict professionals? How do we have difficult conversations with the people in our life? And I loved being in the thick of that, thinking about it and challenging people and being challenged.
This podcast is supported by our CUC Connect members, whose yearly membership includes free attendance to our live monthly webinars, 12 additional featured recordings of past training events, discounts to our basic and advanced training programs, and support from our network of certified trainers for continued professional development. Consider joining CUC Connect today and dive deeper into the understanding-based model. So, in my final question for you, and in the spirit of giving advice and tips, what advice do you have for professionals or individuals who are considering making this change or following the momentum that their lives have been leading them in without realizing it towards a place where they could be this person in the other chair?
Start small. That is my advice to anyone who wants to start out in this field, because I think once you get like filled with the excitement and this spirit and this resonates. You want to like conquer the world. And yes, absolutely conquer the world. And also, it's really frustrated when the world isn't just lining up to be like, here's my conflict, solve this, solve this. And so I think starting small can mean a lot of different things. It can mean start by volunteering, figure out what the criteria is to be a volunteer mediator in your county's mediation, community mediation services. I think most have it. Start with that. Start with trying a conversation technique on the difficult conversations in your life. Start telling your friends about aspects of the understanding-based model or others that you've learned about and see what they've never heard about before, or they're like, oh, I never thought about it that way. Because that keeps happening to me. And I think once you're steeped in all of this, you're just like so obvious. Like, of course you would, think about it this way or approach conflict in that way or understand that these are conflict patterns. And a lot of people don't get exposed to that information. So be a resource for your friends. And what I always like, as Catherine Connor said in Your Next Step, is like ask the people around you what are conflicts that they have that you could like a low stakes intervention that you could get in. But oh, start small. And then the second one is connect with all the other people that you see around you that are also interested in what you're doing and cling. Just hold on for dear life, because I promise over years, those connections are the ones that are going to open up your world in the conflict work realm. And having those peers, I mean, I had peers with expertise that I needed before I had a single client. And now that I have clients, I have this pool of people that I can consult with all the time to say, like, hey, if I hadn't built those relationships before I started with my cases, this would have been much lonelier. And so it can be frustrating to build connections to other people that want to do the thing that you want to do or that have complementary skill sets when you have no clients. Like, what's the point? For me, it made the difference between like being fully alone but having clients versus already having a network and a community of support that could really help me navigate my, continues to help me navigate each new situation and have people to bounce it off of and say, like, hey, this is my instinct. What do you think?
Well, thank you so much, Caitlin, for being here today, for sharing your inspiring story with me and our listeners, and for the work that you're doing every day to bring together people in conflict. I really appreciate you making the time.
Thank you, James.
Caitlin Meredith volunteers her time as a mediator for community and court-based programs in Colorado and California, and also teaches core mediation and negotiation classes at the Monterey College of Law, while also co-hosting a podcast about women's financial literacy. You can learn more about her practice and the work she is doing to help resolve conflict by visiting www.infuturefocus.com. Thank you to today's guest for being with us today and to our CUC Connect members, whose support enables the Center for Understanding and Conflict to bring new perspectives in the field of conflict resolution and mediation to you, our listener, in each new episode. You can find out more about today's episode, along with full interviews and additional information about conflict resolution and mediation using the understanding-based model at www.understandinginconflict.org.